Today is May 31st, 2019, and this is episode number 514 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO. And I've already started doing my patch for the Cheese Whiz, so I want to make sure that I'm good to go for the Philadelphia. Don't want to, like, you know, overdose or anything. Got to build up my immunity. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot us a note at macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you to our Facebook group. Now, joining me today is the man with the joining me today is the man with the plan, the boy with the ploy, the maniac with the bag of pistachios, whatever, it's Jeff Gamet.
That was a fantastic introduction, and I love how you started off where you almost said the man with the pants, which we know is just not right.
That's true, and probably not true.
You know, I could tell you, but that would take the mystery out of our relationship now, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't know if we have too much
There's not much, but, left. You know, I have to tell you my favorite Cheese Whiz reference.
Oh, my goodness. Please.
Blues Brothers. Jake and Elwood come into the flop house that they're staying at, and there's the old guy sitting at the table, and he goes, "You got my Cheese Whiz, boy?" And Elwood throws him a can of Cheese Whiz.
I don't remember that.
Well, now you have some homework. You can go watch Blues Brothers again.
I am having a Philly cheesesteak with Cheese Whiz. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I could probably have Cheese Whiz. I'm assuming there's no literally dairy. Nothing organic in it at all.
There's nothing organic. It's just pure petroleum.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny because it hurts.
Well, probably coming in and going out, I'm assuming. I've never had Cheese Whiz.
Yeah, well, you're not really missing anything, but I'm still going to have a Philly cheesesteak with Cheese Whiz. It's just seems
okay.
Like, it seems like you got to do it. I mean, you can't even have a Philly cheesesteak.
No, I can't.
There's like nothing about a Philly cheesesteak that you can have. Like I'll have a sandwich with just like, I don't know, onions and peppers.
I could walk up to the little Philly cheesesteak stand and say, "Can I have a slice of bread, please?" And then as he hands it to me, I'm going to say, wait. Can we check the ingredients and make sure there's no dairy in the bread?" And when he looks at it and he says, "Well, yeah, it says dairy and it says whey." And then I'll say, "Can I have a cup of water, please?"
I like how you think that someone working a Philly cheesesteak stand in Philadelphia is going to bother to answer your question about the ingredients.
And I know, but this is my fantasy world.
All right. Speaking of fantasy worlds. Speaking of fantasy worlds, Apple Card is coming out this summer.
Yeah, I'm assuming you've already ordered three.
No, I will probably order one to get 3% back on AppleKit.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, because for me, I already get 2% back on everything through the Citibank double cash card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2% back on everything. It's 1% at the point of purchase and 1% when you actually give them money and make a payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best cards on the market currently. Apple's offering 2% for essentially Apple Pay transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been weighing whether or not to get an Apple card.
That's true. I did some math, and I looked at what I would get from the Apple Card, and I'll say right up front, that's a sexy looking card.
Oh, and, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I got one, the kickbacks that you get, it's nice what it has. So that's cool. But when I looked at everything and compared it to other cards, If I get one, it would be just for the security features that it has and not for the kickbacks, because it turns out if I got an Amazon Prime credit card, I would get overall better kickbacks.
On purchases at Amazon and Whole Foods.
Right. And I did take that into account. And it turns out there's so many things that local stores have stopped carrying that I have to go to Amazon for. My deodorant, even. I cannot get it locally anymore. Who would have thought that... what do I use? We'll say it's Arid. I can't remember. Unscented. Can't get that. Have to order it. So even just things that I previously used to go to the grocery store, the drugstore to get, I'm now having to purchase through Amazon and just have shipped to me.
Okay, but you're not doing all of your purchasing through Amazon. I mean, for instance, no. You're probably not going to the Amazon. You're not probably not having your restaurant meals delivered.
No, Grubhub out here is a disappointment. Well, so,
and Amazon doesn't own Grubhub. Amazon does something, I think, with deliveries. But my point is that you do use your credit card throughout the week.
That's true. And I can use the credit card I already have for those other things and still get my 2%.
You getting 2% from your bank. Do you have the double cash card?
Something like that. I'd have to go look and see what it says it is.
Are you sure it's 2%?
Yes, I did my math.
Did you check what your bank was paying you?
Yes.
Because I was under the impression that the double cash card was one of the only cards paying 2%.
Well, I can go do my math again. But the point
being,
it's not
about doing math. It's about seeing what your bank's doing.
Right. Well, that's part of doing my
math. Mostly pedantic, but still.
I've really missed you.
Mostly semantics.
When I did my spreadsheet.
Uh-huh. So you did the spreadsheet for
I actually did a spreadsheet for all of this. And this is probably why I sit alone at home so much. but I did a spreadsheet. And when I did the whole comparison thing, at the end, I was surprised to see that I get a better deal overall if I use the credit card I already have, and then if I were to get an Amazon Prime credit card, than if I were to have the Apple credit card.
Here's what you might not have thought about, though.
Okay.
And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is I know that we have lots of listeners who are going to be going through similar processes, although probably without the spreadsheets. The train agrees.
I assumed that the train was backing you up.
Yeah. So I figured that the us talking through this stuff will help other people make up their own minds about whether or not they're going to do it. Because obviously, a lot of our listeners are predisposed towards wanting an Apple card.
Sure. And I totally get it. I want one too.
Because it's so pretty.
It's so pretty. And I really like the whole thing of being able to change at any time the I'm doing air quotes credit card number.
Sure. Yeah,
just the security features on Apple's credit card I really like.
All right. Well, here's another thing that you may not be thinking about. Or you may not have
Philly cheesesteak?
No. Well, that too, but no. The fact that you're getting your cash back daily. If you have the discipline to immediately apply that to your balance,
mm-hmm.
makes it worth more than the 2% you get at the end of the month.
Okay. That is not something that I accounted for in my spreadsheet.
I don't know what the number is, but I think it's probably significant. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it was made it worth like 2.5%, 2.25%, 2.5%.
All right. Well, over the course of a year, that's significant.
It does. It absolutely and positively adds up. So what I'm talking about is the fact that Apple will pay you your cashback. It's 1% if you use the physical card, 2% if you're using Apple Pay, and 3% if you're buying Apple stuff. Although I don't know if that includes just the card or if it has to be through Apple Pay and also be Apple stuff. Probably the latter.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's the latter.
Yeah. And, you know, and yeah, Apple's doing all sorts of reporting for you, and they'll do some categorizations. Dave Hamilton's pointed out that Apple's not the first to do sort of categorization for you and to give you all sorts of detailed reports. I imagine that Apple's UI for doing all that stuff will be significantly better than what's been done before, but, you know, that remains to be seen. But that 2% that they're paying, they do that on a daily basis. And, you know,
that is nice.
You might be thinking, yeah, well, you know, so what? It's a buck or two at the most, right? And yeah, you're right. It's a buck or two at the most. But if you immediately applied that buck or two to your account, you will be getting more than the 2% that you get at the end of the month, even if you apply that to your account.
And and I'm going to play slow guy here. Gee, Brian, what do you mean? Are you trying to tell me that if I'm paying down my credit card bill with the kickbacks Apple's getting me, that makes it a better deal?
Yeah, it's different. It's like it's your interest will be compounded daily instead of monthly, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that has value above that 2%. I don't quite have the math. And this is ACM. We don't prep.
I remember that.
So I'm sure it would be maybe one of our listeners can actually write in with the math. But if you applying it immediately to your balance, which I personally recommend that you do, means that you're going to be paying less in interest. And that is
that's true.
That's a good thing. That is a benefit that Apple is bringing to us that makes this better. And it's actually even better than, like, so for instance, with the double cash card, it's 1% when you buy and 1% when you pay. So if I charge $100, I get 1% is accumulated towards my money that I actually can't get until I actually have $25 or more.
Right.
So if you're not doing the volume, you may not get that 2% back in a month. You may actually, it may take 2 or 3 months before you get it back, depending on what kind of volume you're charging. So if I were to charge $100 and then I were to pay it off in $10 increments over probably the next 11 months because of interest.
Right.
I would get $1 towards my cash back immediately, and then I would get 10 cents back every time I paid that $10 back. So Apple giving you 2% at the end of the day is significantly better than at least a double cash card.
And if you are paying your Apple card off every month,
yeah,
then it becomes, in essence, an interest-free credit card.
Well, yeah, any credit card is that way. If you pay, right, if any credit card,
I'm pointing
it
out because people need to know that.
That's true. If you were already disciplined enough to essentially use your credit cards like cash, and you charge, and then you pay them down to zero at the end of the month, and you don't carry a balance, this is this difference here, this compounding issue is probably moot. Mm-hmm. Except for you get your money back sooner. You get your money back sooner to do with what you want, but you're still going to end up paying it off at the end of the month, so you're probably not saving all that much more money. And another thing is that so if you were to buy Apple gear through your Amazon Prime card on Amazon,
then you get 5% back.
5% back, which is obviously better than 3%. But you don't really get to configure anything. And sometimes that's fine.
Right. Yeah, sometimes that's fine. If I were to buy an iPad, well, those are preset configurations.
Right.
I could buy an iPad through Amazon and get my 5% back.
Give her 5% back, right. That's true.
Yeah. So where my system falls down a little bit is if I wanted to get, say, a new MacBook Pro. And I know I have to use that term loosely.
Why? What do you mean? They did just announce MacBook Pros.
Why, no. But generally speaking, you have to use the term new Mac kind of loosely. It's just coincidental that a week after Apple announces a new MacBook Pro, I'm making a joke about it.
I support this snark.
All right, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I buy a new Mac, then I probably want to configure it and not take an off-the-shelf setup. So at that point, it would be a nice thing to have. I mean, the Apple Card, because it'd be nice to get some sort of kickback that goes above what I would get with just my regular credit card.
Yeah. And that same day.
And that same day would be nice, too.
That same day would be very nice.
Yeah. And that's the sort of thing that I would just immediately turn around and apply it to the bill.
Right. As you should.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good point. If you're using the Apple Card and you're getting your daily kickback, you should just have that go directly to your bill. And just if there's a way to set that as the default, just do it.
Yeah, that would actually be a really good idea for those who can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an option. It might actually be an option. The Apple, I don't remember specifically from the presentation. It wouldn't surprise me if they gave us that ability.
I don't remember them saying that specifically in the presentation, but it would be weird for that not to be an option. If you had to go in every single day and say, apply this to my bill, that would be weird.
Yeah, that would become choreful, wouldn't it?
It would. That doesn't seem like an Apple thing.
All right, so there is another aspect of the card that bears, like, especially compared. I mean, I've got another aspect, and then I've got a question for you. So okay. The other aspect is you're only getting that 2% back on the Apple Card when you're doing Apple Pay, and not mm-hmm. every place takes Apple Pay.
Right.
If you use your physical card, you're getting 1%. Of course, if you were to take your physical Amazon Prime card, and there's two different kinds of Prime cards, by the way. There's the store Prime card, and then there's the Prime card that they do through Chase.
Right. Yeah, it's like Amazon Visa. Well, you can get an Amazon Amex, too.
Can you? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Oh, I'll show you mine.
Okay, fair enough. The Amazon Visa is a physical card you can use anywhere, and I think you get 1% back on if you're using it anywhere else. I think so. I think it's 1%.
I think it's 1%.
And you can use that physical card anywhere. That's going to be the same. If you have to use your Apple card, it's only that 1%, and there are certainly lots of places that don't take Apple Pay. That is still a yes. thing.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
You know, that tells me that, generally speaking, that's a business that values their bank account more than they value their customers.
If
you have a credit card system where you still have to swipe the cards, okay, it's time for you to move beyond that. And I'm amazed at the number of places that I encounter in Boulder where you have to swipe a card.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And if you haven't moved to the stick it in the chip thing, okay, that's just crazy. But still, if you haven't moved beyond that to where you're accepting contactless payments, Apple Pay, and my feeling is it should be all the contactless payments, not just Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or Google Wallet Pay, whatever. It should just be all of them.
It should
be. If you're not doing that, then you're failing your customers straight up.
Agreed. And from a security standpoint, in particular, you need to be taking Apple Pay.
Absolutely.
Of course, you know, some retailers get pissy because they can't track us. The big retailers get pissy because they can't track us.
Well, and there you go. They are putting more value on their bank account than on their customers.
Right. Agreed. Yep. All right. So Here's my question. I mentioned that I had a.
Oh right, you had a question.
I had a question. Why not just get both and then use the best one for the moment?
You know, that's a totally valid question.
I mean, you were presenting it to me as if it was an either or.
It doesn't have to be an either or, but my spreadsheet exercise was to compare it as an either or, but it doesn't have to be that way. There's nothing to stop me from getting the Apple Pay or Apple credit card and then an Amazon Prime card as well. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Oh, well, because I mean, now, that kind of makes it a not. I mean, so listen, if you do business with Amazon, you should get the Amazon card.
Oh, I totally should.
Yeah,
well, and yet I haven't yet.
That 5% back, and especially if you also shop at Whole Foods,
which I do.
That I mean, of course, you have to allow Amazon to track you, right? Because you have to check in with your Whole Foods app.
Right, and but they already do that so that I can get my discounts.
And you have to tie your Prime card to your Whole Foods card.
Right. For me, it wouldn't change anything as far as tracking goes, because Amazon is already tracking all of my online purchases that I make through them, of course. And then I scan my little QR code when I get to the register at Whole Foods so that I can get whatever discounts are coming to me, which means that they're already tracking all of my purchases. Having the card wouldn't change that.
Okay, this checks out.
Yeah. Now, here's one place where I can see where having an Amazon and an Apple card in addition to my bank credit card could be a problem. And I'm not saying it's a problem for me. I'm just saying in general, for some people, having multiple credit cards where they can be charging stuff up on all of them can be something that gets out of control for them.
Absolutely.
So if you're concerned about having your financial situation spin out of control, then multiple credit cards may not be a good idea.
Yeah, right. And that's really up to you, the people.
Right. So I'm not passing judgment on anyone for how many credit cards they do or don't have. Just tossing that out there is something to just be aware of.
So I remember driving in the car with my father when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what. This would have been in the 70s. And I remember he had, or maybe it was even the very early 80s. And I remember he had several credit cards, like three. And I was thinking, why so many credit cards? That's just crazy. And I was looking at my own wallet not too long ago with that in mind. And then just seeing the sheer number of credit cards that I have.
And that's just crazy, man.
It's like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, I'm way worse than my father was. So, yeah. There's that.
Yeah, well, times are different.
That's true. Times are different. I mean, like, you know, cash, LOL.
Yeah, there was a time many years ago when I thought, oh, I'll never have credit cards. Why would I want those? I can just do cash or write a check. And now I can't imagine using cash for any purchases, even when they're local. And considering how much I have to buy online, well, you have to have a credit card.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I certainly sometimes still use cash, depending on the retailer. But I can't imagine using a check. I have to pay my rent with a check, and it pisses me off.
I remember the day that the property management company for my place switched over to an online system. Mm. Oh my God, that was wonderful.
Well, I've been able to use PayPal for a long time here in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's substantially more convenient than using it. Just like, come on, a check? Come on, man. I will come over to your house and set you up with PayPal, sir.
Yeah, I use my checkbook typically once a year. And when I say typically, that's because if I need to write a check to the IRS for a tax payment, then I send them a check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. And when I did write a check for this year's taxes, and I looked at the check I had previously written, it was for the IRS a year prior. I don't think I'm going to have to buy new checks for a very long time.
Yeah, fair enough. I imagine that's the case for a lot of people. Although, I wonder if that's as true in the flyover country. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. All right, so listen, that is that. I think where I come down, I mean, I've got the Prime card. I like it. I use it. I use it for Amazon, and I use it for Whole Foods. Willingly. I use my double cash card everywhere else, and I will possibly convert to always using my Apple card if I can use Apple Pay, just to get because you know I do want to maximize my pennies. I want to get that 2% back every day, and I want to put it right to my balance.
Sure.
As it is, when I do cash back with my double cash card, I put that right towards my balance, but I can only do that essentially once a month.
Right.
So, I personally think having the Prime card and the Apple card both is a reasonable stance. The added security with Apple card, the daily cash back with Apple card, and not to mention the reporting and all the other stuff that comes along with it, and the added security with Apple Card, that to me makes that card very compelling.
I totally get it. And when I said that, when I looked at everything overall, the Amazon Prime Card makes more sense than the Apple Card for me, I was saying that not to bag on the Apple Card and say I don't like it, just when I was looking at raw numbers on a spreadsheet, I was surprised to find that in the long run, I was probably going to get more money back by using an Amazon Prime card.
Here's my question is, why did you not already have a Prime card? I'm Prime card shaming you.
Yeah, that's totally fine. I'm willing to accept the Prime card shame.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move on. Let's see here. We were having a conversation pre-show about Apple. Mm-hmm. Part of it stemming from we were talking about last week's ACM with John Keat, where I had asked John Keat what he thought the Mac product line might look like if Steve Jobs were still alive. A question I'd never asked before, never thought about before, until we were making that show. And you said something interesting to me pre-show about how something along the lines of what, like, the Apple's moved on from the Mac and is focused on the next thing. And so, so what do you think that is? Like, what is Apple becoming?
I think that Apple is becoming our health and fitness company. And I'm looking at that way beyond Apple Watch tracking our steps sort of thing. I'm looking at Apple having a substantial role in the healthcare system. I think this is the path Apple's really headed down. And when Apple executives talk about Apple having a 50-year plan, a 100-year plan, that's the kind of stuff that they're looking at. They're looking way beyond the Mac, which is just, at this point, kind of in the past in the grand scheme of things. And they're looking way beyond the iPhone, which, from Apple's perspective, I think is in the past. Even though even though it still has 50 years, whatever life in it, and 50 years from now, it won't be the device that we have today. But I think that with the planning they're doing, in that aspect, Apple phone is in the past, even though we still have a long life in store for it. I think Apple is our future health and fitness company. Can you imagine being in a hospital and someone restarts some sort of health monitoring system and there's an Apple logo on it on the screen momentarily?
No, I can't.
Oh, well, now you can.
No, I can't. From the standpoint of Apple making, Apple has very specifically talked about, Tim Cook has very specifically talked about the difference between selling to insurance companies and hospitals and selling to consumers. Right. And the freedom that Apple has by selling to consumers, the fact that Apple doesn't have to please insurance companies, the fact that Apple doesn't have to come up with pricing and form factors and whatnot that are pleasing to the insurance companies, and instead can sell direct to consumers, cutting the insurance companies out of the loop.
Yep. And I totally believe that is Apple's plan. But I think if you look at it even longer term, at some point, the rest of the medical industry starts getting Apple tendrils in it as well. And I mean, we're already seeing that, because I can look at all of my Kaiser Health data in the health app. So while Apple is making a product for me, they're also making a product for these very companies that Tim Cook has said, you know, look, we don't have to please them because we're pleasing the end users, and that's our market.
Can I interrupt? Were you about to continue?
Go away. Go ahead. Wow. Oh, man, Freudian, I am so sorry about that Freudian slip.
Freudian slip from hell. Wow. Man, wow. You go to smile and you just become all mean. Anyway. So.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
that was great. So, I very much agree that Apple is going to become a bigger player in the healthcare industry, but I actually believe that it's going to be very user-centric. And I think that where Apple is going to be a player is in health data, managing, monitoring, controlling, disseminating data to and from you and your doctor slash possibly insurance company slash, HMO like a Kaiser.
Sure.
And
yep.
I don't think that's going to include Apple making the Apple, you know, heart monitor that's in the hospital. If anything, by the time that comes around, it'll be your Apple Watch that is reporting to a health monitor.
Sure. excuse me. And that could be a place where we do end up ultimately seeing that Apple logo flash on some hospital screen along the way when it says, oh, yep, getting data from the Apple Watch. I don't see Apple making a heart monitor on a cart that the hospital is using, but they're going to make stuff that links that back to everything else.
Yeah, but it's going to be services. And I think that
Apple's totally a service company now.
But it's a service company that's rooted in making devices, though. Those services play with their devices. And I think that that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. And I don't think that Apple has a 100-year plan. And the reason why I don't think Apple has a 100-year plan is because I think that Tim Cook is smart enough to know that any 100-year plans that he make will A, come to naught, and B, be changed by his successors.
Well, they at least have a 50-year plan.
I think they have a 20-year plan. And I think they have a 50-year vision. And there's a difference.
Okay. I'll accept that. Sure. And mostly. Yes,
so the,
That's another t-shirt to make now. Great. So yes, Apple has their hardware thing, and it has been the foundation of the company, but you build on your foundation and you make something on top of that. And I think that Apple, philosophically has moved beyond being a hardware company. But practically they will always have a hardware element to what the company is. And Apple is in the transition phase right now where people are starting to see that Apple is a service company.
Apple's not a service company, man. I don't buy that. Apple is a hardware company with a growing services market. Here's the thing. Have you heard my vision for iPhone and why Phil Schiller tells us that iPhone is going to have a role for the next 50 years?
Please tell me your iPhone master plan.
Okay, well, all of our listeners have heard this.
Well, so it's tell only me you. Anyhow. Okay. Well, it's okay, because this is all about me.
All right, fair enough. So Apple phone, whatever iPhone, whatever name it has, and whatever form factor it eventually takes, is going to become our central computing device. And it's going to become a central computing device that interacts with output devices, i.e. monitors, displays, and input devices, i.e. keyboards, pointing devices, trackpads, mice, air gesticulations, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that it...
Air gesticulations, that's my Kinks cover band name.
Okay, that's good. And it's going to interact with whatever we need at the time. So we're in the subway, the Apple phone will be in and of itself. We're at our desk, it'll be the central processing unit that is shipping information and an interface appropriate to a monitor and keyboard and mice or tracker. Mm-hmm. A holographic display or a projected display or whatever. And when, so it'll be one device, it'll be the appropriate interface for what we're doing. And it'll be the toaster fridge that actually makes sense. And I think, and eventually that'll include displaying to our glasses. So maybe we're in the subway and it's not a device in and of itself. It's sending information to our glasses or our contact lenses. And eventually, of course, as I've said many a time, our brain implants that are actually able to project information onto our vision from within our brain.
I really, really wish you were a Futurama fan, because all the Futurama fans out there, they're nodding right now. They're like, yep, Jeff, totally get it. And I'm not going to explain, so it stays an inside joke.
All right, good.
But I will say, shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, I get it.
I get that part. So iPhone will eventually replace our Macs, and it will eventually replace even our iPads, because we will instead have display-centric devices that are seamlessly interacting with our iPhone, so that all of our data remains central to our iPhone. All of our private data, all of our files, everything we'll be walking around with in our pocket, and we can interact with it depending upon the environment at that time.
I think you're absolutely correct.
Okay, well, that keeps Apple being a hardware company.
Now, see, this is where I find it absolutely fascinating, because Apple is in the position where they are going to be a services company that makes killer hardware.
No, man, this is the same. This is like talking about Apple as a hardware company or a software company. It's the same thing. They're tied. Apple's services will be tied to its hardware and therefore its software, just like Apple hardware has been tied to its software. It's like asking, a pumpkin, like, you know, what matters most to how a pumpkin tastes? It's roundness or the length of its stem. It's like that doesn't have anything to do with anything. I was pulling that out of thin air, so you know, work with me here.
I'm just trying to process that, and what I'm coming up with is, no, I think it's more like if you have, I'm totally going to try and make the pumpkin analogy work. I'm committed to this now. I think it's more like if you look at a pumpkin and say, well, is it a stew? Is it a bread? Is it a pie? Nope, we're still not making the pumpkin work.
Nope, still not making the pumpkin work.
Now, so what I'm seeing is a company that makes hardware, has services, and it makes software. Because yes, all those pieces are integral. And if you're doing what Apple does best, which is to make a closed system, and through that they make really good products. Okay, so you have different elements in that, the hardware, the software, and the services. And I think that where Apple was historically was that the hardware was the primary focus. And then they made software.
But it never was. It never was, man. It was always the hardware and the software. It was always the hardware and the software. Even going back to the Apple II.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say. But you cut me off, man.
I accept your apology.
So it was a hardware company that also made the software, so you had the whole integrated thing. But it was this hardware company. I mean, you went to buy an Apple product, and it came with this great software. So people looked at the company, and the emphasis, at least externally, was more towards, look at this hardware. And I can buy this great computer or this great iPhone, whatever. And now I think that Apple's philosophy on where the company is that it's services. That's the big thing. But then you also have to make good hardware and software to support what the core of the company is going to be in the future.
No, it's the opposite, man. They're making the hardware, and then they're coming up with the services to better support the hardware. Apple is still a hardware company and is going to remain a hardware company.
No,
the services are in service of the hardware, made possible by the software.
I think if we were to have this same discussion in 20 years, that you would have a different perspective.
No, you know that I'm probably going to be dead by then.
Yeah, in my fantasy world, you are eternal.
Regardless, I mean, yeah, well, certainly whatever conversation we were to have in 20 years would be a very different conversation than the one we're having right now.
I accept your apology.
But it's not going to be the conversation you think we're going to have.
It's never the conversation either of us think we're going to have.
Well, that's true too, but I think it's going to be closer to my conversation. I think that Apple is going to remain a hardware company. I think that if Apple is doing ride sharing, it's going to be about the hardware and the software and the service. The service in this case being ride sharing. The hardware being the automobile, the software being the what makes the hardware run and provides the service. Like, so, you know, again, I'm going to say what I said a few minutes ago again, because I'm like really falling in love with it. Apple is making hardware. They're making services in service to the hardware made possible by the software. But at the core of it is the hardware.
I like what you're saying. And yet I'm going to stick to my guns and say Apple is becoming a software company, or excuse me, a services company. And that to support the entire ecosystem that they're creating so that they have really good services, they will continue to make hardware and software. So Apple's hardware isn't going away. It's going to change, which of course it's always going to change.
If this transformation is taking place, what you're saying, if what you're saying is accurate, the hardware is going to become ever crappier.
Well, I hope that's not the case. That said, I look at my MacBook Pro and how many times it's had the keyboard replaced, and I do get a little worried.
How about the two-year-old iMac Pro? And I'm putting Pro in quotes at this point.
Okay, that's another concern. How about how old is the Mac Pro now?
The Mac Pro is what, 5 years old? 6 years old?
So last update for 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Is it really 6 years ago for the last update?
Let's see. There was
I want to say it's 4 years ago.
There was the Podunk update where they sort of like lopped off the lowest end. Like left everything the same and sort of lopped off the lowest end.
Oh, I thought it got like a minor processor bump.
Mac Pro. All right, so update history.
Well, here, I'll just type Mac tracker. This is so much like old times.
So it was release date was what? 2013 was the trash can's release date, and then it was updated, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. But again, the update was just simply lopping off the low end. Wasn't actually updated.
Okay, so then I'm going to go with the 2013, December 2013 is our date. Okay.
Anyway, see, yeah, it's ancient.
That's concerning.
It is concerning. It is super concerning. I'm really hoping that we see something at WWDC. I suspect that we will see the iMac Pro for sure, since it's 2 freaking years old. God, I wonder if they'll stick a door for updating the RAM.
I don't think so.
They did. It's still in the iMac, which was just updated a very nice update, I might add. 6 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
There's a door on that, but not on the Pro model. Come on, Apple. What the heck?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it happen. Okay, so my prediction is that if we get any Mac Pro announcement, it's going to be an update showing us what they're working on. It will be an update telling us what they're working on, and probably not showing us anything. And I'm still thinking that the earliest we will see a completed Mac Pro selling, I don't know if it's shipping, but selling, will be the end of this year. I don't think people will truly have them in hand until 2020.
Yeah, it could well be 2020. Have you had any new thoughts? I think it was on TDO when you were still hosting TDO, mm-hmm, that I broke my theory that that what the Mac Pro is waiting on is an Apple desktop processor.
Mm-hmm. Like Apple's own ARM processor.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping is that you are absolutely correct, because I can't see any other reason to have this whole Mac Pro redesign take as long as it is. Because if it's about anything else, then Apple's engineering team is just failing.
Yeah, I agree. Well, like what? I mean, yeah, that's essentially it. It's the only thing that could possibly take 2 or 3 years for them to make this is their own processor. That's the thing that would take time.
Right. And if that's not the case, then what Apple needs to do is go poach some engineers from HP's PC team.
Or Dell, or any of the companies that manage to release new PCs all the time.
Right.
Hashtag just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Yep. So I'm hoping that your hypothesis is correct, and it's because we're getting an Apple-designed ARM processor Pro desktop computer. And if that is the case, then yeah, it'll be 2020, I think, before it actually is in people's hands.
Right. Right. In the meanwhile, I think I cannot imagine the scenario where the next iMac Pro isn't at least announced and hopefully shipped. I hope that it's not like announced and it's going to ship 6 months later again. Because it was announced 2 years ago and it shipped, like 19 months ago, 18 months ago, something like that.
Oh, that's right. Because they announced it and then everyone had to wait till December. Because they announced it in what? Like they announced it at WWDC
Yeah, 2 years ago, WWDC.
So it would have been in June when they announced it and then it didn't ship till December. And we were getting to the end of the month and wondering if it really wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
At least before the end of the year. Yep. I remember. Yeah.
Good times, right?
Good times.
All right. So listen, I'm going to Pepcom tonight.
Sweet.
Oops. Last night.
So you went to Pepcom last night.
I went to Pepcom last night.
So what we need to do is make sure you have time to recover from that as if you had to drive through traffic.
As if I had to drive through traffic tonight, but since I did that last night.
Now it's just you need time to bounce back. Now I understand.
Right. So we're going to cut this particular show a little bit short. Oh, but not much.
Yeah. Okay. I can live with that.
Not much. I look forward to being proven right about this hardware services software business.
Well, and I'm looking forward to in 20 years, because I believe you will still be here when we have our discussion, and you will begrudgingly say, well, I can see where part of what you said could be interpreted in this one way. So
it's like you're not just first meeting me.
And it'll be great.
Oh my goodness. That is funny. I only have one thing to say to that. That's how we handle that here. And that is this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at ecm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CacheFly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week, except for I would like to thank Mr. Jeff Gamma, the boy with the ploy, the man with the plan, the maniac with the pistachios. Thanks for being here.
This has been so much fun. I mean, seriously, just like old times.
And road noise.
Okay, bye, Brian.
Road noise, just like old times.
Seriously, in my mind, I was visualizing that was you driving away in your car. Yeah. And I was just going to be sitting here in silence going, Brian, where'd you go, yeah, Brian?
If I'd been more clever. I'm actually just going to leave that in, too. I'm going to leave that in so that listeners can hear what I have to deal with noise-wise. Okay, now, listen carefully. Mm-hmm. You suck at listening.
Carefully. What?